see some notes to take during the service. So, can I have a few young people? In fact, we're looking at making a new group. No, not you. I said young people. In fact, if you're between the ages of 10 and in your teens, and you want to hang out as a group, I usually was going to have this area over here, but we're going to move it over here now. Can young people come sit up here? Jack, why don't you come up, sit up here? Okay. And I'm going to have a few people. Jack, put the papers up here. And then can I get a few people to pass out these notes? They'll be real quickly. And then, Pastor Bruce, does this look familiar? Yeah, it came off your desk. Can you pass some pens out, some people? And then can you guys pass these all out? They're just cheat sheets. And as Andy would say, it's nice to have these notes. Yep, pass them out. Come on, you guys. I need more of you guys to pass these out. What's nice to have about this is you can know when you're going to land the plane and the sermon's over. So pass them out, if you could. Pass out pens. It's one way of, I'm going to try to stay on track here. I have a lot to cover and very little time. Reminds me of Willy Wonka. But I would say good morning. Or I could say guten tag. Or I could say Missouri. Hola, jumbo. Shalom. As we become a multicultural church, we're going to have different ways of saying hello. And we're going to find different ways of caring for each other, becoming the people. Now, we're also going to have a video today. Or, for some of the people that may be a little older, we'll have a film. Depending on the diversity in our group and what you want to call it. Before we get to the film, though, if you looked at our bulletin today, we were blessed with Glenn making this up on Thursday for us. He was using his gifts, and that's what we're talking about. And he put the picture on there. I asked for a picture. We are rich, but so what? He found a great picture, and I want to praise him for that. Well, we're looking today at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be ignorant, nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who will richly provide us with everything for our enjoyment. He's going to provide everything for our enjoyment. It's a promise. In fact, he's providing me for somebody for the young people. If you are young, and you're in third grade and under, and you want to go to Sunday School's church, Lydia is going to be helping us with one of her gifts. So if you'd like to go with Lydia, and you happen to be third grade and under, well, what? Your daughter's getting up, yes. And then go on to verse 18. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and be generous and willing to share. When I started what God put on my heart is talking about our gifts, the sermon didn't go this way. It was that we're so rich. And still I started thinking about it. We are rich. Are we using our gifts? Now don't get worried, as I talked about earlier, tithing. I'm not looking for the 10% tithe, and I'm not looking about getting into your wallets. In fact, Northbrook doesn't believe in that. That's why there's just a place to give on the back wall. What I'm looking at is, I want to give you an opportunity. I want to give you something today, a gift to you. I want to give you the understanding of a better way of living. Today I'm going to talk about the difference of this world and how we feel in this world and the things that we think are important. But we're also going to connect, well, what really living is, what purpose he's made for us. In fact, what better way to understand the commandment of mitzvah? Did I say that right, Andy? Mitzvah. Well, what is mitzvah? Well, let's talk to Rob Bell and see what he has to say about mitzvah. Mike, can you cue that up for me? Thank you.
I keep seeing this bumper sticker that's popular where I live. It says, God bless America. Every time I see one, I think, God has. God has blessed America. America's around 6% of the world's population, and we consume over 40% of its resources. The point isn't, how can God bless America more? The point is, how can America bless others? In the Bible, when God blesses somebody, when God gives to them, it's so that they'll bless and give to others. There's this verse in the Bible, in a letter called 1 Timothy, and it says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth. Now, I always assumed this verse was for somebody else, I mean, specifically somebody rich, but I have a car. 8% of the people in the world have a car. 92% of people in the world would see you and I driving in our cars. And I don't care what kind of car you have. 92% of the people in the world would see us driving in our cars and they think, rich. Do you have access to clean drinking water? Because somewhere around 1 billion people in the world don't even have clean water. And so you and I, like, we go to the sink, we take out a glass, we get something to drink. But hundreds of millions of people in the world would watch us doing that. And they'd probably say to themselves, man, it must be nice. You eating today? Because somewhere around like 800 million people won't eat today. Like 300 million of them are kids. Like every couple seconds, somebody dies from hunger. Like how much change do you have on you? Like your wallet or your purse. How much money do you have on you right now? Around 1 billion people in the world live on less than $1 a day. Experts say that in order to provide like water, basic health and nutrition for everyone in the world, they say the estimates that it would cost somewhere around $20 billion, which is how much Americans spend in 1 year on ice cream. We are so rich. But maybe you have the sense, like you look around and you have the sense like you don't have that much because you see people who have even more. But it's a dangerous thing when we start to think that our world is the world. I mean, we're like bombarded with all these images of the newest models and the latest styles, and after a while, our stuff, it starts to seem kind of average or outdated or not good enough. But for the rest of the world, our life is the commercial. Our stuff is the catalog. We're the picture in the advertisement. What isn't good enough for us, for the rest of the world, would be more than enough. So the verse in 1 Timothy, it says, command those who are rich not to put their hope in wealth. And then it goes on, it continues, and it says, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. That phrase, the God who richly provides us with everything. All that we have is a gift. Food, it's a gift. Clothes, gift. Roof, gift. That breath that you just took, it's a gift. Now there are some who say, no, you don't understand. I've worked for what I have. I deserve it. It's mine. But like it says in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, because it's God who gives you the ability to produce wealth. So there's nothing wrong with wealth and possessions in themselves. I mean, God never condemns people simply for having things. I mean, they're gifts from God. It's just that God made us for so much more than just enjoying our stuff. God gives for a reason. And so the verse, the command, begins to those who are rich. It says, don't put your hope in wealth, put your hope in God. And then it continues and it says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Now when the writer uses the phrase good deeds, he's referring to this ancient Hebrew concept called the mitzvot. The word mitzvot is actually in Hebrew language, it's the word commands. So the ancient rabbis taught that when we do the commands of God, when we do good deeds, we're helping to repair and restore the world. So the first Christians, they picked up on this, like in a letter called Ephesians, that one of them wrote that we're saved by the grace of God through faith in Christ in order to do mitzvot, in order to do good deeds. We're saved to do good works. And so we're commanded to do mitzvot and to be generous and willing to share. And then the verse wraps up this way. It says, in this way, and this way is the rich, that's us, becoming generous and willing to share. It says, in this way, they lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. And in doing this, they take hold of the life that is truly life. Now, when some hear the phrase laying up treasures, you know, they start to think of like money and wealth and mansions, but Jesus never even used the word mansion. I mean, nowhere in his teaching is it about, or is the point, getting more stuff. It's not the goal here on earth, and it's not the goal someday in heaven. For Jesus, it's about being content. It's about taking hold of the life that is truly life. It's about realizing that the kinds of people we're becoming matters. It has eternal implications. It's about our future. It's about our forever. If you're like me at this point, you're kind of looking for the pitch, you know? Okay, just tell me where I'm supposed to give money or who I'm supposed to give money to, and then I'll give the money and then I'll be off the hook. But this is about something much, much bigger than just giving to the latest cause. This isn't some transaction, you know, where we write a check, where we put some cash in an envelope, and then we're off the hook. This is about how we view the world and how we view our stuff. This is about what you and I truly believe about what we have. I mean, do I really believe that everything I have is a gift, and that I have this divine responsibility to give, to share, to spread it around? Do I really believe that the way we're commanded to live is the best possible way to live? Let's be honest, it's easy to go to a church service, and it's easy to read the Bible, and it's easy to discuss who believes what and who's right and who's wrong. It's easy. But when Jesus talks about his followers, he talks about people who are generous, people who clothe the naked and take food to the hungry, take water to the thirsty, and people who visit the prisoner, and people who invite the stranger in, people who give their time, people who give their energy, people who give their money. Jesus said the way is narrow. He even said it's difficult for the rich to enter the way of God. Putting others first, that isn't so easy. Jesus said he came to serve, and serving takes sacrifice. It costs. It's hard to ask difficult questions about how we spend our money and what we spend our money on. I mean, you and I are told every day in a thousand ways that we need bigger, better, and more, and that what we have, it isn't good enough. You know, we're told buy this, consume that, get this, and then we'll be happy. Do you sometimes feel like you're on a treadmill and you're working harder and harder and harder and more and spending more and more, and you're more and more stressed and less content? The best question isn't, what can I get? To take the way of Jesus seriously is to realize that the best question is, what can I give? Because all of us can give something here, now, today, and then tomorrow, and then the next day. What can you do to be more generous? What is the next step for you? You have been blessed. What can you give? Who are you going to bless? So may you come to see that you're rich and that your possessions, they're luxuries that most of the people in the world don't have. And may you do what Jesus says. May you step in to your divine responsibility to give. And when you do, may you take hold of the life that is truly life.
The opportunity I want to make sure that you see is that every one of us is created for a purpose. And to see that purpose, we are going to be fulfilled for what God has called us to do. We will be filled with joy, for we'll be used exactly how God wants us to be used. We are not of this world, so why should we try to buy into it? Why should we buy into the lies of advertising and the way it looks at it? In fact, elders, listen up a little bit, so I want to make sure you're on edge and listening to me, because I'm going to abbreviate a little bit about 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. We are commanded to do mitzvah, to understand that we are here to fulfill a need in part of the body, and that when we fill that need, and it could be of music, it could be Duane pounding a nail, this church needs, that we feel fulfillment. And that fulfillment is becoming through serving others. And as we serve others, the Lord has given us gifts and abilities and talents that we will find fulfillment. As John read to us, the voice of the martyrs is part of his heart. As Lydia has a background check, and she's been through all this for caring for children in our past church, I've known Lydia from, I knew that she was safe and has the gift that can watch over our children that we cherish the most that she's caring for right now. How are we using our gifts in the body? Like Rob said, okay, you might be saying about now, okay, John, what do you want from me? I don't want anything from you. I want to give you something. I want to give you the opportunity to let God be fulfilled in your life. What gifts He's given to you have been specific to each one of you, given by the Holy Spirit. In Romans and in 1 Corinthians, we happen to hear that we are part of one body, a body that serves each other. In fact, earlier at 9:30, we have a Sunday school. And the video today in the Sunday school was talking about how we can help each other out. How one serves and another one receives and another one serves and another one receives. Think of a circle. And as we're going around, one is receiving, but another is giving. What a perfect body. And as we watch this body grow larger and we watch this body become more dynamic with multicultures, we are going to see a body that's healthier, able to help each other more. Now let me ask you a question. What was Adam created for? I can wait longer than you. What was Adam created for? There's no wrong answer. Yes, Pastor.
Fellowship.
Fellowship. Any others? Yes, Thomas.
Servant.
A servant, yes. Because God wanted to. Yes. We're told in Genesis 2:15 that he was cared for the garden. And he's there to care for the garden. And if we want to look back just a little bit farther to Genesis 1:27, it was to rule over things. Adam was made for a purpose. As each and every one of us in this church are made for a purpose. How many of us do you think Pastor Bruce's purpose is to sing and lead worship? I see two hands, Pastor. And one of them wasn't your wife. What I'm looking at is that every one of us are made for a purpose. Adam was the first arborist. Now, if you don't know what an arborist is, you're going to have to meet Travis. We have our own professional arborist on staff. What we're looking at is that each one of us are created for a purpose. And what my opportunity to you is to know that purpose. Because if you can find the purpose that God created and what turns you on, you will love to follow commandment to mitzvah. To serve. Now, for any of you that know me, I like to talk. And if you don't know me, you're probably realizing it right now. Boy, he likes to talk. Al's over there laughing, yep. He comes in my shop, I can't get any work done. I just listen to him. But we look at it, each one of us are given a unique talent. And if we use that talent for the body, we will serve each other. And that's what God wants us. We're relationship beings. In fact, one time I did a sermon with Johnny Cash using him. Maybe I'll bring that back sometimes because Johnny Cash had a lot to say. We are relationship beings. Relationship with the Father and a relationship with each other. And are we doing that? Or are we getting stuck in this world and getting sucked into the advertising? Did you know that that car that was new up there that looked new was the same car just cleaned up, polished, and taken a picture of a little differently? The world deceived. If you looked at the very first picture, the hood had a few dents in it in that beautiful car that looked so nice. But the world deceives us and says, we need newer, we need better. That rich person should take care of it. But no, it's us. We are the rich people because we're given the talents and gifts by God. How do we use them? And then the media also lies to us. It tells us that we need more and bigger and greater and things that are going to cause us more debt and more strain and keep us from the Lord and keep us from the relationships. How many times have we had to work extra hours to make sure we meet our bills? I mean, yes, stress adds up. And then we find out, we find resentment. We find that we're cast away from God and we have to go to work to supply these needs that really were false. Did we have to have the bigger house? Did we have to have the newer car or the designer clothes? The world sometimes will lie to us, and advertising, I believe, is killing Christians and finding us false hopes. We are relationship beings. We should be coming together to serve each other, and by doing that, serving the Lord and the gifts that He's given us. Now, if you've been given gifts and you're not using them, how do you think the Father feels? What do you guys think? How many of you guys like to play soccer? Only one? Okay. What sports do you guys like? Speak up.
Basketball.
Okay. Baseball. Shooting hoops, hitting the ball. Well, let me ask you this. If God's given you them abilities, guys, and you sit on that chair but don't use it, does it feel like a waste? Yeah. It's wasted time. We don't have time to waste. We're lucky to be on this planet 100 years. And even as we get older, we happen to find out we still have gifts to serve. Matthew 6:19. We happen to look at the Bible and we say that things that we happen to have value in and that we say are so important really aren't that important. Because Matthew 6:19 tells us that they will rust, they will fade away, and they can be stolen. And if these things can be stolen from us and rot and fade away, what do they matter? They don't. The only thing that lasts and lasts for eternity, I believe, is relationships. Jesus said in Matthew 25:40, I tell you the truth, for whatever you've done for the least of my brothers, you've done to me. He was talking about a king talking about this. But it's a parable that Jesus wants us to know, that whatever you've done for the least, we are the rich ones. If I have a computer problem, I'm going to start calling Ed, because I found out Ed knows a lot about computers. But Ed's going to get overwhelmed. But then I have another person I call. Another person. I just sometimes get stuck. But when I call Andy up, he gives me the ability. In fact, Will isn't here. But Will had the answer to the soundboard last Wednesday, or we wouldn't have heard this worship team. Last Wednesday, Andy's going, all I need to know is where the on switch is. Just the on switch. You'd think it would be easy. But he didn't know. But Will had the gift of knowing. And by calling, he was able to share with us that we were able to have worship because of Will. 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gifts he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. We are commanded in 1 Timothy, and in 1 Peter we are actually told that it's bringing grace to God in various forms. I said earlier, somebody made up this bulletin. Somebody used their gifts. And we all got to receive the blessing. Now, you might be saying, well, Pastor John, I don't know my spiritual gifts. It's really not my fault. Or I don't have time. You will put your time and talents where it is needed when you find the value. Young men, can you do me a favor? Can you pass them out? Because I promised you an opportunity and a gift, and I'm not going to leave you short, bring you to the sermon, tell you that you should use your gifts to serve others if you don't know what your gifts are. This is an ability to do an assessment so that you may see what spiritual gifts you have and things that energize you. I know that we have multiple drummers in this congregation now. And we are looking at, I would love to see, in fact, I said to John Jr., he played a little bit of drums, very little, but he played a little bit of drums in the church. And I said, John, you remember the Blue Man's Group? Some of you guys might know them, some of you might not. But the Blue Man's Group used these tubes, and they beat on them. I said, wouldn't that be great to do in worship? Maybe have 3 or 4 drummers up here doing some radical things for the Lord. But your spiritual gifts could be everything else, even behind the scenes. Where's David? David, thank you. Earlier, I said in Sunday school, but I want to thank him again. He walked the property and picked up garbage. Picked up cans and paper. This is part of the body. And as we all do more and more and use our spiritual gifts, we were given the gifts to use them. What a blessing. This body will grow by using our spiritual gifts. We are all called to do mitzvah. Are we? And if we're not, and you want to feel energized, and you want to feel the Holy Spirit moving in your life, you're going to be able to do it through using the gifts. You're given gifts for a purpose. And if we run out of them, I promise I will make more of them, and I'm just blessed that people want them. So in closing, I want to say to you, the Holy Spirit put on my heart to talk about how we can come together and use our spiritual gifts. I didn't realize until I started studying that it's actually a command. Peter tells us that in 1 Peter we are talking about it brings glory to God. But in 1 Corinthians we are commanded. So let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us understand why and the purpose you've given us these gifts, and how we can use these gifts to serve the body. I pray in the next week that the spiritual evaluation tests out there, surveys, that we can find a quiet time to read through these, to fill them out, to find out the purpose and why we are called, and then give us the ability to use that within the body. And if you're not part of Northbrook, I ask that you take this survey with you and somewhere use it to serve others and they'll bring glory and honor to God. Amen.
Would you stand with me as we close?